Morning, everybody. Isn't it beautiful outside? It is an absolutely exquisite day, isn't it? Man, we're going to start today with an overhead song, if we get it. Well, I think we're going to start. Yeah, we got that far. But it's called A Name Above All Names. As soon as we get going here, we're going to sing it. Thank you. I'm going to let you sit today, but I'm going to pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this beautiful day. Thank you, Lord, that we can come here together and gather in your church. Thanks, Lord, for our wonderful Savior, Lord, who came to sacrifice himself for us, Lord, so that we could one day be with you. Thanks for all that made it out today, Lord, the good week we've had. Things we got done, Lord, safety, the daily provision, Lord. Lord, we take you for granted, but we have no business doing so, Lord, because you're always there for us, and we thank you for it. Thank you we can call upon your name, Lord, whenever we're in trouble, which we're in all the time. Thank you for our nation, Lord. We know it's many, many problems, but Lord, guide our leaders. Help them to see the need to turn to you. Help them, Lord, to see that lies isn't what it's all about, Lord. It's the truth that we have in you and in your word. Thank you that we can come here today, that we can listen to our pastor preach today. Lord, you have a special message placed in his heart today. Lord, I pray that it would speak to folks today, that someone might change, Lord, today because of what you have through him. Guide and direct, Pastor, Lord, give him the strength he needs. Thank you, Lord, so much for my church and my church family. Thank you for the opportunity to spread a little Christian love around today here, Lord, in the shaking of hands, a hug. Maybe a tear, Lord, whatever. Thank you for that opportunity. Help us, Lord, today just to remember who we are and especially who you are. Thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. See, you're already beseated, so 530, please. 530.
The Lord's our rock, in him we hide, a shelter in the time of storm. He'll be tied, a shelter in the time of storm. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a shelter in the time of storm. A shade by day, defense by night, a shelter in the time of storm. No fears alarm, no foes upright, a shelter in the time of storm. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land. Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a shelter in a time of storm. The raging storms may round us be, a shelter in a time of storm. We'll never leave our safe retreat, a shelter in a time of storm. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, Jesus is a rock, weary land, a shelter in a time of storm. Oh, rock divine, refuge dear, a shelter in a time of storm. Nay, thou art ever near, a shelter in the time of storm. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm.
Let's see now. I got the invocation mixed up, but that's okay. We got His Mercy Is More, another overhead song, and an insert. Yep, here we go. Thank you. Let's see. We got announcements. Here we go. Tonight, 6 o'clock, is our evening service. Make sure you come out to that, folks. You're missing out if you ain't here. Find and give it value in the gathering of the church. Personal evangelism is on the 11th and 25th. Men's Bible studies, the 15th. Deacon and trustee meeting on the 20th. That's a maybe on that one. Wilton Bible study, the 13th, 27th. Fellowship has been changed August 6th because of Steve and Wendy's coming here to see us. And we're going to have that after he speaks to us, I believe, in the morning. Communion for August 6th will now be on July 30th because of that. Family night, fun night, is August 16th. And we're going to have a film night on the 17th. And we're going to have a church picnic. I believe, down here in the Fruitland Park. It's 16th. Women's Retreat at Walnut Park is November 4th from 9 to 3. And Pastor Stop of the Week, our lives expose where we spend our time, in the Word or the world. Guys, you come forward. We'll take up the morning offering. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you again, Lord, for this beautiful day, the opportunity to come here. Thanks for the folks that showed up here today, Lord, expecting just a little bit from you today. Help us, Lord, to give a little bit back as far as honoring you, Lord, in all that we do here today. And especially, Lord, now that we're going to take up this offering. Lord, our church needs funds. We have to do this, Lord, to give to you. But we don't want to be begging, Lord. We just want people to give freely and willfully, Lord. Thank you for the opportunity to do so. In Jesus' name, amen. Sharon's going to sing now.
This song has a Bible verse that I'd like to read to you. I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ, as found Philippians 3:8.
To be the queen of a vast just stop right there, because that's really the whole message, isn't it, folks? It nearly brings me to tears when I think about that, and as I review my life. You know, that was a song that was made famous by Billy Graham's, how do I want to say it, but one of his vocalists, George Beverly Shea. And we can hear him singing that, can't we? But you know what, it's a good question for us to think today, and I'm thinking about that myself here. Is Jesus really what I want? I'll tell you what, this is a good time to get those things into alignment. Thank you, Sharon. I appreciate that presentation that you gave us this morning. And it is used, I believe, by the Holy Spirit in our lives. And with that said, I want to welcome you to our services this morning. We're not necessarily here to be serviced. I don't know why we use that term, but what we are really here for is to worship, right? And to gather together and have fellowship with the Lord and with one another, the body of Christ. So I welcome you in Jesus' name. This is all about Him today. It's about God. But it is also about us and how God works in our lives and how we approach Him and how He approaches us and what He has for us in store in His divine scriptures, which I believe are living and powerful. And if we will allow them to penetrate our life, the Holy Spirit to apply them, drive them home, we'll see ourselves changed and transformed into something that is beautiful in the eyes of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all through His work. But I greet you in His name today, and may His love be present here today, but also His truth spoken as well. The title of our message today, I feel like I'm a little lost here this morning because I started a series about exploring God's rules and role for the two sexes quite a while back. We've had a little interlude here with some national days and other things that have intervened in that children's message, but I want to get back on track and finish these. And so today, Lord willing, we'll continue that. But it's exploring God's rules and roles for the sexes and some of the reasons that we live in a troubled time today in our lives and in our world. Very important. Today, just so you're aware, we're going to pick on the ladies first. And we started on that briefly the last time. And then when we're finished with the ladies, the men, and get really ready for them because they need a lot of picking on too. And we need help, and the Lord will give us that help. One thing I want to announce this morning, with the impending vacation that Deb is going to be on here soon, if you have anything that needs done with the secretarial things, you need to talk to her early this week. Music and musicians, be sure that we're squared away with what we're doing and so forth, but make sure that you take note of that we have these things handled before much time goes further through this week. Well, with that said, I want to welcome everyone again, especially glad that we have anyone today that's visiting with us. You're always welcome here at Fruitland. We trust you'll find a spirit of love, and that, again, the words that are spoken here come from a loving God. So today, let's take a few moments of silent prayer as we adjust ourselves to come before the throne of God in a spirit of worship and adoration, and then I'll have a short pastoral prayer and we'll get down to business. So shall we bow together today and open our hearts to the Lord? Our Father in heaven, we come today before your throne with hearts of humility and humbleness. Hearts, Lord, that want to exalt you today for who you are, the most wonderful and awesome God, shown in three persons, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We thank you today, Lord, for your grace and benevolence, your watch care over us, and again, Lord, for the power of your word that you've given us and the impartation of it through the power of the Holy Spirit into our lives. We thank you today, Lord, for the gathering of the church. And Father, may you be the center of our focus today. Lord, it's a wonderful day that you've given us today, a wonderful day for you to do a work in our lives. May we yield to you today in humility, Lord, I pray. Now, Lord, today we understand that in our humanity there are many struggles that people are going through. We know, Lord, that all kinds of emotions and situations are found in people's lives. Today, Lord, I know that you will meet those needs if we will yield to you. And I pray today, Lord, for those that are in all those various conditions that we find ourselves in. And Lord, we thank you that you have the remedy for us. Now, Lord, again, as we think today, Lord, we know that we are missing people today that may normally be here. We know, Lord, there are people we maybe have not seen in quite a period of time. And we know, Lord, that we have a community right at our doorstep here that is hungering and thirsting for you, Lord, whether they know it or not. And I pray, Lord, that you would again quench their thirst through the living water that is your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, make our community come to the water. Lord, direct our community to come to the food of the Word in their lives. We pray today, Lord, for a soul to be saved, a life to be won to you, Lord. We thank you for your blood that was shed on Calvary's cross that covers our sins, and for your body that bore our sins. You took the punishment for me, Lord, in my place. And today I thank you for that, Lord, and every day, not as I should, but Lord, help us to get that right. And then, Lord, to cap it all off, you not only literally died, but you literally rose again from the dead, which gives us the prototype and guarantee of new life that you have given to us. Now, Lord, I just ask that you'd help me as I bring forth this message today. None of these things are easy to preach, Lord. Most of the things I'm going to preach about today fly right in the face of our culture and fly right in the face of your adversary who wants this word to be squelched, who wants people to continue to live in bondage and sin. But I pray today, Lord, that you'll help me to enunciate that through the help of the Spirit and the power, that people would throw off the shackles of sin. Lord, that we would live for you in freedom. And Lord, that we would enjoy the fellowship that you have planned for us with yourself and with one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. May you be the center of our activities and thinking today, Lord. And I pray that there would be a movement in the hearts today. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen. Well, friends in Christ, catching up to speed in our absence on this series is kind of difficult because I like to cover things in order and, you know, be right down the line so that we get it all at once. So if you've missed or forgotten or are a new attender, the previous messages in the series are on the website for your convenience, and I mean that. Take a listen to those. But to bring us up to the speed today, up to the point, a few things from the previous messages that I just want to drive home briefly. And then today we're going to talk about some of the role models and roles and rules for the ladies, for women, the female gender, okay, that we learned about. And so today, just a few short things to bring us up to speed of where we've been. Number one is that God set the standards and ordained two sexes, and they are male and female. Again, the things that I'm going to bring to you today come from God's holy word, and so I'm saying today, thus saith the Lord, but I will say this right away, I believe every word of what the scripture says, and I believe that God did create two sexes, male and female. The second thing that we never can forget is that Satan is the ultimate duper and deceiver. Satan is the ultimate duper and deceiver, and he encourages mankind to rebel against God. And folks, mankind is in a perpetual state of rebellion, at some times more than others. It is in a great state of rebellion today. Satan has fostered the environment where truth to many people is subjective, but God's truth is objective. And what he says stands, and it will always stand. And you know what, folks? We are going to either have to do one of two things. We're going to take it, or we're going to leave it. And he's going to give you the freedom to do either one of those. But he wants you to understand that what he tells you is truth, because God cannot tell a lie. He is truth. That is one of his attributes. So I believe what he has revealed to us in his word about himself and his holiness is objective truth. Third thing. Rebellion against God and his holiness is always sin. Thank you, Judy. You must have looked at my notes. Is always sin, and always when there is sin, there are consequences. I don't, you know, by the way, sin is not categorized. We can talk about that again. Sin is sin. I believe there are degrees of sin, and I believe that you could make a case that because there's judgment for people that go to hell, that there may be degrees of punishment, but that's up to God. But what the Bible tells me, what God says, is that we're all sinners. So don't worry about what other people are doing and say, well, I'm not as bad as they are. We're all bad. That's what the Word of God wants us to know. I'm not right before you today. You're not right either. I mentioned to the junior senior high class this morning, I guarantee that every one of us probably committed one sin at least today. I admit that I have. I spoke some word. I didn't swear or anything like that, but I spoke some words that I could have done differently. Right, Miss Kim? We're sinners. Okay? And sin has consequences. And understand this, that those consequences are always destructive, both physically and spiritually. Unless those things are caught up with God, you know, verses like 1 John 1:9, I'll tell you what, folks, we will slide. And the destruction will become more evident in our lives. Jesus is waiting today for us to come to Him and admit to Him that we need help with our sin. And He will help us. That's what He says in 1 John 1:9. Number four, God is the one and only source for positive change in our lives. Well, I don't know about that one, John. Well, let me tell you something. If there is positive change taking place in your life, it'll be directly connected to God and His ways. It will not be connected to your ways or the ways of Satan. You ponder that a little bit. You can argue with me about that. But God is the one and only source for positive change in our lives. All human attempts to do change our way will prove out negative. There is only one divinely endorsed change that will impact our whole life and being for eternity, and that is to be born again. If you want to hear more about that, read John chapter 3 and a man named Nicodemus in his encounter with Jesus. It's to be born again spiritually into a new creature or creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new. In the Greek, it's the word kainos. Brand new. You're made brand new. A new creation or creature. All old things have passed away. All things have become new is what that verse says. By receiving the miracle of Christ's work on Calvary's cross in His body, blood, and resurrection from the natural man to the spiritual child of God, which changes everything. Have you been born again today? Do you have evidence in your life that all things have been made new or are being made new through, again, the indwelling of the Lord Jesus Christ through the power of the Spirit? Have you been rescued or saved? Are you new? If you're not today, there's a problem. If you cannot claim that to be in your life, we need to be born again. By the way, the Bible teaches that we are born again immediately as we believe on Him and His work, but we also become trans. Now, that's a term that we use a lot today, but no, we're being changed. Metamorphosis. We're being transformed from what we were to what we are to become in Christ. Okay? So I'm going to use that term today about that. In the sense of the lifelong transformation from the mechanics of our old nature to the new. In Romans 12, 1 and 2, I won't go there today, but you can read those. But we are transformed by the renewing of our mind to what is that good and perfect, acceptable will of God, which is our reasonable, meaning what? It's attainable. It's attainable. And beyond that, Ephesians 4 and Colossians 3, I've talked about that in the last message on this series, but if we need to see change affected in our lives, it's done through a system of putting on the things of Christ and putting on the things of the flesh, putting off the things of the flesh. Putting on the things of Christ, putting off the things of the flesh. I've got to get that said correctly today. And the Bible will help you to understand that, and the Spirit will help you to apply it. And that's how we're renewed. That's how we're changed, folks. There is no program that's going to magically remove these things, even though God may do that. He may choose to do that, but it will take effort. And in cooperation with the Holy Spirit, He will renew us through the Word, and we will be changed and transformed. And then the last one this morning before we get to the meat. God ordains roles that flow from Him as effectors and receptors. I brought those terms up before in these messages that apply to both sexes and their roles by and with Him and each other and those they are associated with, such as children or other relationships. In other words, God's Word gives the rules and the roles of how we operate with Him and with one another. The Bible is the instruction manual for man. God's the creator of man. God had to write the manual. Man's tried many times. But let me tell you something, folks. Unless we understand that He is the creator, we're messed up from the start. And the book's faulty. So that's the thing. If we've been operating that way, it's not going to work. We have to do it God's way. He created us. The Bible gives the parameters and the requirements of God's will in the lives of men. Well, today, there are specific instructions in the Scriptures. I cannot give you every instruction today, obviously. We'll just do as much as we can. And these are basics and primary things. And like I say, we're saving the best for last because the guys are going to get an earful too. And I need it too, right? Do you think we have an identity crisis today in the godly roles for men and women? When we start to look at some of these things, and again, I want to just give this disclaimer. I'm responsible to preach the Word of God, and I'm going to do that. But you know something? We're going to find out today that women even ought to be teaching their own sex. Godly women should be teaching other women and training them and discipling them in godly ways for women. When I stand up here, I'm not judging women. I'm just merely expounding what the Scriptures say. You know, and I don't think it's the best thing because we'll see that if we get there in our text today. Women, you need to be teaching ladies, girls, the role models and the rules that the Lord has. By the way, if you don't have them yourself, it's high time you better find out what is in the book, and we're going to look at some of that today. And you may not agree with what I say today, but ultimately, if I'm in alignment with God, you're going to have to take that up with Him. And you won't be the first lady that didn't agree with what God said. It'd be Eve for a starting place. Now, when we talk about the men, it's the same thing there. Men, spiritual men, that's your responsibility. And if you're not a spiritual man, it's your responsibility to become a spiritual man and to take up with the rules and the role models that God, again, and the responsibilities that He's given you. So what I'm really saying today as I bring this forth is we live in a mess today because we've bought into what Satan has said. And what Satan has tried to do is to confuse and to turn around the rules and the role models of God with the sexes. And folks, if you want to continue to grovel in the world we live in today, that's the path that you'll go down. But if you want to see it change, and we may not be able to change the world, God can if He chooses to, but if you want to see it change in your own life, if you want to stop living in the garbage pit that we live in today, it's got to start somewhere. If you don't dump the trash, the smell's going to get worse. Right? So with that said today, we got to go to the truth. Now, we covered two of these things, and they're not in an order by rank with priority, but you can prioritize them. I could go right through and say, well, this could be number one, two, three. You know, I didn't do that, but these are just some of the things that the Scriptures say. I believe they are the main things that are talked about with women. Two to rehearse, and I'm just going to give you the Scripture and a reference on this, but the two that we looked at before we were shut down the last time is a woman ought to fear the Lord, and women ought to teach their offspring, girls especially, and their sons to fear the Lord. Proverbs 31:30. We won't turn there today. But that is a quality, it is a rule and a role that a lady, a woman, the female sex should have. The second thing that we looked at is the great privilege that God has given ladies in being mothers. That is a divine call. It's a divine institution. It's called motherhood. We can hear about all kinds of things that supposedly might happen someday and all the different things that have come about, but folks, let's lay it on the line. Mothers are the ones who bring children into being and carry them for 9 months in their womb. It's a privilege. You can look up 1 Timothy 2:15 on this, and there's other verses. But you know what? Even when Adam and Eve transgressed first, God said, you know what? You ladies, I'm not done with you yet because I have preserved you for the ultimate preservation of the race, and that's to be mothers. Now, again, the world has said motherhood's not that great of a thing, and I know you ladies all say, you know, it's like when Kim was birthing one of our children and I was helping her with the breathing, she threw ice chips on me because she didn't like the way, you know, at that point we did that kind of deliveries, natural births. It's not a pleasant experience, but it's a rewarding experience, something us men will never know. Only through our wives, that's how we'll know a little snippet of that. But you ladies could explain that better. But it's a gift, isn't it? But the world has said it's not for you, it's your choice. Well, you do have a choice whether to have children, but you know what? I believe God has instituted that for the majority of gals, that's how it will be, and that's his ordination. And you can argue with him about that. But it's a very important role in procreation and in godly society and in godly relationships in the human race. Well, that brings us to the first one this week. If you have your Bible or a device, turn to Romans 16, 1 through 2. This is just a general thing. We're not going to park on these long. But if you write these down or consider these things as I bring this to us today, women are called to be diligent workers in their vocations. Women are called to be diligent workers in their vocations, but also in the church. And the first one we're going to look at today is the church. By the way, women have rules and roles in the church, and they have areas that they should and should not do. The Bible is clear about those things, but one of the things is they have a role with the gospel in the church and in serving in the church. The lady we're going to look at today is a lady named Phoebe. So Romans chapter 16, verses 1 and 2. And let's hear what Paul says about this lady. And the thing that we should do, again, I'm going to be preaching to the men in the same way, but ladies, are you, you know, we ought to be, am I fulfilling this role? Could I do better? Is there change that needs to be accomplished in me? You know, evaluation here. But here's what Paul said about a lady named Phoebe. He says, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister. And he's talking here to the believers at Rome, the church at Rome, the group of believers that were gathered. He says, I recommend unto you Phoebe, our sister. And by the way, what she did, she carried this letter to the Roman church. Phoebe carried Paul's letter to the Roman church. That is no small task in that world, right? Yeah. Which is a servant of the church which is at Cenchrea. Notice there the term that's used here for Phoebe. A servant. Now, many times when we think of the term servant, we think subservience or being forced to do something, but that's not the kind of servant that Phoebe was. Phoebe was a willing servant of Jesus Christ. She had a willing heart to enhance the gospel message, to enhance that local church there at Cenchrea. And she was chosen because of her faithfulness to carry Paul's letter to the believers at Rome. That does not sound like an unempowered woman, does it? Does it? My friends, God empowers women for his service, but he does it in the parameters that he designs. We always want to investigate that. Verse 2, Paul says that you receive her in the Lord. Now, what do you suppose could have been the hang-up with Phoebe? Well, folks, just like all times, they might say, well, why is this lady bringing this letter? But Paul says, don't argue with her about her sex. Receive her. Receive her letter in the Lord as become a saint. And that you what? Run her out of town on a rail because she came to Rome with a letter from Paul? You assist her, he says. That you assist her in whatever business she hath need of you, for she hath been a succorer, it says in the King James Version, that means a helper of many and of myself also. Phoebe is just one lady in the Bible that you can look to that had a role for God under the rule of God. And she was a great enhancement. So that enough said. She was a supporter of the work of the church, the gospel. That's the work of the church. However it is done, ladies, you have a place there. Men too, but we'll talk about that next week. Secondly, along this line, diligence. Now, folks, as I go through life more and more, I use a four-letter word more and more. And I'm going to tell you something, folks, and you may not like it. People are lazy. I'm even getting the propensity to be lazy. I don't know if it's lazy or worn out. We had a patch of crops at home, you know, truck crops. It got pretty bad. Woody, the grass is higher than the crops. I just couldn't. First of all, it didn't grow, and then when we watered it, the weeds, you know, and keeping it. I admit to you, I worked through that. I double-tilled it and hoed it. And I sat on the chair for 20, 30 minutes. Kim was out trimming weeds with the trimmer. Now, I don't know if it's old age or being tired, but I told Kim even this morning in the bathtub when I got to get out of the tub, I said, I'm getting lazy. I could just sit in here the rest of the morning. Is that lazy or old age or tiredness? It's something. But I'll tell you, folks, there's a lot of young, able-bodied people that are even in their 80s that are sitting around. We live in a lazy culture. Not everyone. But ladies, what we learn from Scripture is that ladies ought to be diligent workers in whatever vocation they're in. You can look at Proverbs 31. I'm not going to turn there this morning. But you'll find that lady that's written about in Proverbs 31 was out there going at it with hammer and tongs. You know, really, shouldn't we do the best we can with what we have with us? You know, around us? I mean, we can never buy a day back. We ought to make the most of what we are given every day. Do I do that every day? No. But what we're talking about here, what God's saying is, ladies, can you truthfully say, and men, we'll look at this, can you truthfully say that you've given your best for Jesus or to whatever you do? Because the Bible says, whatever we do, we ought to do it in the name of the Lord. Heartily as unto the Lord. Well, I believe this, folks. That's what God wants. He wants our best. By the way, 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, do all unto the glory of God, right? Yeah, you could look that verse up. But I'd like you to turn to Acts 9:36 briefly here. Acts is the book right preceding Romans, Acts 9:36. And here's just one example that we find in Scripture. We don't know much about this lady. But it's there, and there's a reason. Acts chapter 9, 36. Now, this is a gal that Peter raised from the dead. And we read this in Acts 9:36. Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. So right there, she was what? A diligent worker. Yeah. And of course, she was sick. Lord rose, she died, and Peter raised her from the dead. God did it, but through Peter's ministry there and so forth. But there it is. There's a woman who's classified as a diligent worker, that was a person that did good works, not for salvation, but because of salvation, and alms deeds. She was a diligent worker doing good things in the service of the Lord. So that is something that's expounded upon, and I think that we need to take that into careful consideration, again, for the ladies, but it applies to the men as well in this case. But are you a diligent worker in your vocations and in the calling of the Lord? Well, the next thing here. I believe the Bible teaches clearly that the ladies are still the nucleus of the home. The nucleus of the home. I believe that they are the nurturer of a home. Now, we'll talk about the role that the men have in homes and in the life of the home. But I believe the woman is the nucleus. She is the center of the home. That's what the Bible teaches. I'd like us to go over the book of Titus and keep your finger in there this morning. We're going to reference several things in there this morning from the book of Titus. 2 Timothy, and then we find the little epistle of Paul to his protege Titus. But this morning we want to look at Titus 2 and verse 5, chapter 2, verse 5. We'll be looking at other things in this as well. Now, we know that the women's liberation movement and many of the teachings that I believe do come, and by the way, I am not against women at all. I believe the Bible says they ought to be placed in a high position. Men ought to love their wives as Christ loved the church. What we're talking about here, and we'll see it in the language whenever we get to it, what the Greek talks about, is that the men ought to be the first ones to be in alignment. How are women going to follow men that are not in alignment with the Lord? That's the first thing that has to happen too, but it doesn't excuse the ladies because God gives these parameters again to the role of the ladies and the rules for ladies. But to be the nucleus of the home. Notice what it says here in verse 5. It says to be discreet. And that simply means to be careful in their actions. To be chaste. That's under sexual control. But look at the third one there. Keepers at home. Oh yeah, Pastor John, I knew you'd get to that. Keep them barefoot and pregnant. Keep a broom in their hand, a scrub mop. Kneading bread at the table. Is that what that means? Well, sure, you ought to keep your house as best you can. I mean, Paul says, let all things be done decently and in order. But what's he mean here by keeping the home? It's the core and the nucleus of the home. There's got to be someone that is centered on the home life. The husband. As the husband is out and about doing things, the children, the nurturing, the teaching. How do I want to put it? I can't come up with the right words. But you know what? As I looked at my mom, she was always there for me growing up. I think children today have a sense of lostness. Because in many cases, the mothers have been removed from the homes. They don't know who's going to be there after school. They're in all kinds of other places. This is all the satanic stuff that's happened, folks. Remember, he's the duper and the deceiver. He says it's going to be better if moms get out of the homes. Well, let me tell you something, folks. If the moms aren't the keepers at homes, you've seen right before your very eyes what's happened in our culture. Now, I know someone's going to get mad at me about this. Well, I hope you don't, but if you do, it's all right, too. I still love you. And sometimes I need to be gotten mad at. But I told you this story for you old-timers around here, and I'll tell it again. Kay will be flagging me down saying, you keep repeating. Farmall Works in Rock Island. When I'd go through that plant in the 1970s, there was quite a few gals in the workforce up there. By the way, am I against women in the workforce? No. That is something you have to decide personally, but it does not absolve you of the responsibilities of being the keeper of the home. Back to Farmall Works. During World War II, most of the men were fighting. There was a shortage of people. Women were hired into many of our plants. Okay, the war ended when? 1945, right? I went through the Farmall plant the first time in 1972. The gals that were hired in World War II never left the plant. Why? Lonnie says it's because of money. That's part of it. Because they didn't want to go back to what they believed is a drudgery and something they wouldn't enjoy. And so they stayed. And this has happened universally. Now today, you cannot hardly exist without two incomes, can you? Satan's brought all this on us, folks. How did people exist before? Bottom line, though, there has to be a nucleus in a home. I'm not saying that those roles can't be mixed at times, but I believe that the gals, whether they're in the home or out of the home, are still the nucleus. And I believe this, there's a lot of guilt in ladies' lives today over that issue. And a lot of times it's because the men wouldn't pick up their own responsibilities before the Lord and set that straight. You may not agree on that in totality, but there it is. To be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their husbands. Oh boy, that's one we're going to get in trouble too. With that the word of God be not blasphemed. We'll talk about this with the men, but the men got to get their act together under God. And a woman will not have a problem following a godly man if she's a godly woman. She'll encourage that man to lead that home as the nucleus of that home. We'll look at that more as we go on. The nucleus of the home, the example setter, the nurturer, the one who's there. We'll do one more before we quit today. We'll have to come back. This could be a lengthy series. If you have a problem, there is a complaint box out back, but I rarely look in it. We'll talk more about that here coming up. But here it is, a teacher of other women. A teacher. If you're going to be a teacher, you first have to be a learner. You got it, Lonnie. You're right on track there. By the way, I believe women have great capabilities of learning. But I believe today women are learning from the wrong sources. And thusly, they are teaching from the wrong sources. God is the source. Women, you have a great responsibility. And I have to come up and say this, but women, you ought to tell this to each other. We have a great responsibility to grow in Christ, to understand our role in Christ, so that we can accurately communicate this to the generations that follow. What you're seeing, folks, before your very eyes is that somewhere along the line, Satan got into the mix. The ladies stopped doing the teaching, or the children rebelled against the teaching. And that's where you're at today. Because what I'm bringing forth today is not popular in our culture. By the way, I am not a bigot. I'm a Bible believer. I believe when we do it God's way, it'll work. But we don't do it God's way. But we could do it God's way. And we should. Titus chapter 2, 3, and 4. You're there yet, I believe. Notice here. We'll pick on the men quickly. That the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, and charity and patience. Of course, they're told in the first verse, speak things which become sound doctrine. But here's verse 3. The aged women do the same. Likewise, set the example that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the younger women, the young women, to be sober, to love their husbands. By the way, sober means, in this case, means to be serious, to take the things of the Lord seriously. That's a good question to ask ourselves, too. To love their husbands. By the way, men and women in marital relationships have trouble. But you know what? The aged or mature woman has some capabilities to help that, because you and I can come clean today. All marriages have troubles. But you know what? Sometimes you need a man to come along another man, or a woman to come along another woman who's been there and done that and say, you know what? You can get through this and it'll be better on the other side of this. To love their children. Yeah, I'll take a risk at saying this too. There's a lot of people don't love their children today. They want to have them for trophies when they want them. But that's not loving your children. Loving your children is being fully engaged with them and showing them the love of Christ and the nurture of Jesus Christ. They're a gift, folks. They're not a trophy. But they're a gift. I was going to say, it does keep on giving, but at times, it keeps demanding too, right? By the way, grandparents, people that have been through this stuff, that's why God still has you here. To help the ones that are coming behind. It's not easy, is it, Kim? Oh, if you'd be in our home and hear all the things we discuss. You do it too, though, right? Sure you do. Sure you do. A teacher of other women. By the way, women have a role of teaching in the church too, but there is some conditions there where God also assigns certain roles that are male only. That's His thing. I didn't design it. But why not do it? Why not do it God's way? It sure hasn't worked when we don't do it His way, has it? No. Well, you already... I'm going to go to one more reference here in the teaching. By the way, all teaching isn't done from a textbook. All teaching isn't done verbally, but teaching is also done by example. Example. Think back to your own mother. For good or bad, many of the things that were set by your mother will have an impact on your life. 1 Timothy 2:9 through 14, and then we're done for today. 1 Timothy 2:9 through 14. Now, Paul's writing here specifically about public worship and the role of women. You need to read these things. Sieve it out. Talk about it. Tear into it. I've debated with this with many people, but I believe, again, God does not put women in second place. He puts them in the place that He has designed for them to operate. Okay? It's His divine placement. But anyway, here it is, as we think about the teaching. In like manner also that women adorn themselves. By the way, that word adorn is the word cosmeo in the Greek. Kay, you remember when I read scripture at your mom's funeral? I said, Helen Jondal wore God's cosmetics. Maybe she did wear Mary Kay or other things. I don't look at that, but God's cosmetics. Is it still Mary Kay? Kay? Okay. Yeah. Well, I'm just asking because I know your daughter, you know, Trista sells it. Little advertisement there, Trista. No. I think she told me one time there are even things that could enhance me. That might be something worth thinking about. We'll come back to this next week. But lady, do you put on God's cosmetics? Are you enhanced by God's cosmetics? You will be an example in how you wear God's cosmetics, whether you do or don't. In like manner, that also that women adorn themselves, and here he gives some guidelines. He says, in modest apparel, with shamefacedness, or modest appearance and sobriety. By the way, women, you are not to draw attention to yourselves for your own gratification. Men, neither one. We are to use the things that God has given us in our bodies to draw attention to Him. We have young ears here today, or I could get very graphic. But folks, that's a good test right there. Am I trying to draw attention to myself or to God? Not only in how you dress, but in how you handle yourself. Sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array. He's talking about what's laid out in verse 10, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. The teacher has to set the example for the student. We got to park it there for today, so I'm going to the conclusion. Someone keep me straight on this for next week. We'll go on. Is everyone okay with this? Well, if you're not, we're going to do it anyway. But here's the point of all this, folks. We've all made mistakes. We're making mistakes. I'm making mistakes as a father today. And I'm aware of some of that. I need to have a whole different perspective with my children at the point they are in life. But here's the thing to remember today. God is ready to help us get everything right, that even though we live in troubled times, we don't need to be troubled in ourselves and of our own doing. That's the great thing to... Amen? There's help. Jesus can make us clean today when we are washed in His blood, when we lay our sin at the foot of His cross and receive as receptor from Him, the effector, forgiveness and salvation by believing, trusting in what He has done for us. That's salvation, folks. And then comes the transformation. Then we become trans. If we'll allow it, the Spirit will change us. And He'll clear up these things in our life that cause us to live a troubled life. He'll show us the way. He'll help us. He's our helper. The Holy Spirit of God is our helper. Man, He comes alongside us. It's parakletos in the Greek. He's with us. Today, if you don't have that, you can have it through Jesus Christ. If you've never been born again, I mentioned that this morning, today's the day. Today's the day to understand that you are not going to get into heaven. You are not going to be in a personal walk with Jesus unless you are reborn spiritually from the flesh and become a spiritual child of God, a new life in Christ. If you haven't had that, today's the day, folks. God's calling you to it. And for sinners that are believers here today, like me, He's here to help us with our struggles. Moms and dads, children, you can get it right if we'll yield to the Lord. Otherwise, we'll go on in this cycle of trouble. And it'll get worse and worse, headed for destruction. Jesus will help us today. You know what? He's here to encourage us today. I'm here to encourage you today, and there are others here. If you're in need, come on up or speak a word. Let's talk. We can help each other while Jesus helps us. There is help and hope in Jesus Christ today. I gotta quit. Amen. Let's take our hymnals and stand today. 238. Stand if you're able. This song is titled, I Must Tell Jesus. Is there anything you need to tell Him today? By the way, He knows everything anyway. But He wants to hear it from you. Because then He knows that you know. And that you're making a decision one way or the other. Either for or against Him. What in your life and in my life today do you need to tell Jesus? I tell Him on a regular basis, Lord, I need Your help. I'm weak. I'm a sinner. I'm struggling. We as a church need His help. We as individuals need His help. What do you need to tell Jesus today? I'll tell you what, you come forward today and make it public. It's between you and Him. But when you'll take a step of faith, or if you choose not to do that, today's the day. But know this, there is help waiting from Him, and there's help waiting from the body of Christ, other Christians, about the struggles that you're facing today. Let's sing stanza one. You do business with Jesus at this time. I must tell Jesus all of my trials. I cannot bear these burdens alone. In my distress, He kindly will help me. He ever loves and cares for His own. Jesus loves you today. I must tell Jesus. I must tell Jesus. I cannot bear my burdens alone. Tell Jesus, Jesus, help me. Doug.
To give up my prayer life. So
praise God. We'll pray about that here. Praise God. Alone. We're going to sing that refrain one more time. Don't be afraid today to go to Jesus for help. Talk to Him today. He's going to listen to you. And there will be change today. You'll become, again, a new creature in Christ. And you'll see that move in your life to become newer, to be renewed if you're born again already. Let's sing that refrain. You come today, do business with Jesus. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help me, Jesus can help me, Jesus alone. Jason Salas, would you close in prayer? And I'm going to ask the deacons greet people at the door. I'll be back there when I can, if I can. Have a great day in the Lord. Thank you.